Garcia, who might as well be a pastor. Bless him indeed.
Well, so much for my New Year's resolution to dress more conservative. Happy New Year. First of the year. I hope you're having a wonderful 2017. So far. And you know, we normally start talking about New Year's resolutions a couple of days before this event takes place. But I'm not going to do that, but I am going to talk about our resolution that is available all the time, okay? And because it's available all the time, that means that it is always allowable to make turnaround U-turns, always. It never changes. There's a story in the Bible about a guy named Jonah. And Jonah ran from the Word of God. He ran so far that he actually ticketed a boat that would take him as far away west as possible from where God told him to go. And he hopped on this boat, and he started heading away. And then out of nowhere, this great storm arose that was on the verge of tearing the boat apart, tearing it apart, sinking it, and every life would be destroyed. That is a whale of a story. And yet, Jonah slept during this storm. And it wasn't until the people on board, his shipmates, started to cast lots to see what's going on. And the lots fell on Jonah. And they went to Jonah and they said, "The lots have fallen upon you." And then Jonah confessed that it is true. This storm is because of me. Because I disobeyed the word of God. And so then Jonah encouraged them to throw him overboard. Just get rid of me. Toss me into the sea. I'll die and perish, and you would live. But his shipmates didn't do that. They just continued battling the storm. They would not throw him overboard. And then just about the time that the boat was ready to be totally torn apart, and he again begged them, just about that time, God sent this whale. And the whale swallowed Jonah up. And so Jonah found himself in the belly of the whale. And when he was in the belly of the whale, he cried out to God. He cried out to God, and God heard him, and God saved them. And brought him back to where God told him to come in the first place. And that's where God let him off. Now, a couple of things to notice here is that Jonah not only heard the word of God, but pay attention, he recognized the voice. Okay? Now, had it been anybody else, like let's suppose it was his brother who said, "I think you should do this," I know for sure he probably would have just been able to say, "Go fly a kite, leave me alone," and gone about his business. Because we could care less about what these people think or what they want us to do. And we all have people like that in our lives. You know, they come in and they go, "I think you should," and I go, But because he recognized who it was that was speaking to him, he knew in a way that it was not a request to be taken lightly, but that God wanted him to obey this command. And he didn't want to. His stubbornness says, I'm not going to do it. Now, the other thing to notice is that he took away and he went as far west as he could from obeying the word of God. But the one thing we need to remember for ourselves is that no matter how far we run from God, God is there. Okay? And when he got to the point where he recognized that he was at fault, that the reason that all this stuff was happening was because of him, he volunteered to have himself killed by being tossed overboard. He would rather die than obey God. Sometimes we get into a mess when we run from God. And by running away in this mess, we get to a point where we recognize that, yes, it's my mess. Yes, I've done wrong. But no, I will not yield. And I could care less what happens to me. And I'm just going to continue in this road. As a matter of fact, if you want to save yourself, that's fine. Go ahead and feel free to chuck me into the sea, because I don't care. And yet, God sent the fish, and the fish swallowed him up. Sometimes we need to remember that some of these situations that we're put into by God are not meant to destroy us, but to protect us. For example, in the belly of the whale, where he should have been devoured just by the acids and all the other garbage that was in there, he was preserved. It was in this area that God set aside a time for Jonah to reflect his situation. It was in this time that God said, I'm going to put you in a safe place where you will not drown, you will not get hurt, you will be whole while you think about what's going on. And it was in this place of safety and comfort that Jonah cried out to God. And God heard his voice and released him and brought him back. And Jonah went on to do what God had called him to. Now, we have all heard the word of God, and I venture to say that even today, we hear the word and we don't want to do it and we run away from God. But even more important, I remember as a young man, I was raised Roman Catholic. I still understand all the upbringing that that gave to me. I have not forgotten, if you will, the rules of being a Roman Catholic. And yet, at that time, I decided that I no longer wanted to hear the word of God, but I wanted to run away from God. And I remember telling my mom, I said, Mom, I don't want to go to church anymore. I've had it. And my mom said, okay, don't go to church. And so I spent the next 3 years without going to church, 3 years. And in that whole time, I remember constantly hearing the word of God for me. Okay? And I remember ignoring it and turning away from it. Now, I was one of these great persons because I didn't do the bad things. I did the okay things, but not the bad things. So surely God would never, ever destroy me. After all, I was a Catholic. And yet, that there was something else that God was demanding of my life. Okay? And it wasn't until I sat down and conversed with him that he turned me around. And I say this because we all hear the word of God. Whether you are a Christian or a non-Christian, God has made himself known to you. And he has made known to you what he is requiring of you. And although, just like the natural law, if I go out here and I do something stupid and get arrested and get put in jail, I could never use a defense of, I just didn't know. Because the law says that ignorance is not a defense. In the same manner, God has provided us with a book. And in this book is everything that we need to know about what God requires of us. And not reading it, and not knowing it, and not studying it is not a defense to later say, I did not know. When Jonah went through this whole process, it took probably an eternity. And we're not sure how long this happened. We're not sure how long he was in the belly of the whale. But the one thing that got brought out, no matter if it was a short time or a long time, the one thing that we have to notice is that when Scripture says that God is not slow as we count slowness, because his desire is that all should repent and not perish. And even in that statement, it's telling us that God is willing to put up with our stupidity until we come around. But at the same time, it's telling us that even though God is going to be slow about this, there is no doubt that some will indeed perish. In the same manner that we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall be saved. That's a condition that tells you that there are some that are going to believe and some that are not. And those that don't believe, there is a place waiting for them. I can't sugarcoat this. I can't tell you that things are going to be okay. I can't tell you that God's going to take everybody. I can't tell you that every religion is the same. I can't tell you that somewhere along the line, that story about the blind men that touched the elephant all described the elephant differently, but he's still an elephant, that God is the same way. I can't do that because this Bible says that's not so. This Bible says and acknowledges there may be other gods, but there is only one God, and that's me. I am unique to myself, and my uniqueness is this, that no God can stand by me. I cannot, with a clear conscience, make this so easy for you that I totally ignore the fact that God says there are some that may perish. And yet, God at the same time has made it known. Everything that you need to know is in the Scripture. Take Paul, for example. When he starts writing to us, he's given us some very memorable lines. I'm going to read some of them because I know that the moment I say them, the Christians, we do have Christians in here, right? Maybe. We'll see. We'll find out. But when you hear these statements, there is no doubt in my mind that you're going to go, yeah, yeah. And my notes are all stuck together. That's what I get for using heavy-duty marker. Come on. See if you've heard this. If we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts, we shall be saved. For anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How will they believe if they have not heard? How will they hear without someone preaching? So you see, there's a little dilemma here, right? God says he wants you to hear what he has to say, and he goes, how am I going to do this? I've got to send somebody to preach it to you. I got to send somebody to tell it to you. How are they to preach if they're not sent? So we understand this dynamic, and we've heard this before, that God is sending people to tell the story. And you know, I'll tell you right now, I have always been uncomfortable talking about the things of God in the gospel message, and yet I cannot help it. Because there is no give and take with God. God says, this is what will happen should you decide not to. That's a tough thing to bring. Now I understand why a lot of these Christians were beaten. And why they're being persecuted around the world. They're bringing a message that people don't want to hear. And he goes on to say, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And so after you hear these words, something in you bubbles up and you believe it in faith. And when you believe it in faith, you are saved. I've told a story about when I got saved, okay, I had no idea how to pray to God. I mean, literally, I just didn't know what to say. And so I just started talking to him. And one of the things that I said was, you know, I don't know what it is you do to these other people, but whatever it is, do that to me. Because I need it now. And instantly, I began to weep and cry like a girl. It's a good thing my roommates in the base were gone for the weekend, or they would have left me. But I began to weep, and I fell asleep weeping. And when I woke up the next day, and to this day, I have never been the same person. I tell this story, and I'm going to tell it again. I got a friend who got saved because he was in the middle of a worship meeting, was standing off to the side going, I don't believe any of this. Boop! Holy Spirit fell upon him. He believed. He got saved. He didn't even have to say the sinner's prayer. But he's never been the same since either. And I've known him for over 30 years. And so when we believe because what we have heard, God meets us and sends his grace and we are saved. But you know, in that same line of thought, Paul says, have they not heard? He's already talked about this whole dynamic of sending preachers and having them deliver the word, and by faith you shall be saved. But then he asks, have they not heard? And then he says, now this is before all these preachers were being sent out, okay? Now Paul was going out, but there wasn't that many of them. And he says, have they not heard? And then, indeed, they have. And you sit there, really? Indeed, they have? And he goes on to quote a psalm. And in the psalm, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaim his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. Their voice goes out through all the earth. Now he's talking about the celestial, the planets, and the stars. And he is saying quite pointedly that these things in the sky are speaking to humankind. They're spreading the word throughout all the nations and the entire world. And what they're proclaiming is something special. Now, not everybody, and I'm not talking about astrology now, okay? The Jews and the Christians all rejected astrology, that these celestial beings and planets somehow control us. They don't, okay? I'm talking about astronomy, okay? That if you watch the movements of the heavens, okay, God is revealing something to you. And I'm going to tell you who picked up on that, the Magi, okay? The Magi paid attention to the skies. They mapped and they looked, and they knew that something was coming in connection with the coming of a king. And this king would be a special king. And I believe that they had access to the Hebrew scriptures and some of the other documentation at that time, so that they would reason to themselves, not quite sure when this will happen, but when I see these signs in the heaven, that tells me that this took place. And so when they saw that star, they started to follow it. Now, many astronomers right now believe that that star that they saw was actually the planet Jupiter. And the reason it was so bright is because there's another star that came up at the same time and lit up Jupiter. So Jupiter showed up in the sky as just this huge star. And Jupiter has a characteristic that it actually moves. It doesn't do a nice synchronous orbit. It has a tendency of moving forward, and a little bit backwards, a little bit up, a little bit down. And the Magi started to track Jupiter as it did his movements. And then one of the characteristics is that eventually Jupiter settles and stops. And when it stopped, the Magi were able to pinpoint exactly where it stopped and where they were going. And when they headed there, they found the king. And we just finished celebrating Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior. So the heavens themselves are declaring God's glory to all of mankind, that he would indeed send the King, the Savior, the Lord of all, that we may believe in his sacrifice and be saved and be with God for eternity. Now, I'll be honest with you. If somebody just told me all this stuff, I'll tell them, you know what? I don't believe a word of it. And you know what? I don't want you to believe me. There's a book that you can look through. And please, I don't mind if you prove me wrong. But at least read through this, look at it, study it, learn it, and then make a decision for yourself. If you look through this and you come back and you say, that's a load of stuff, I reject that, then do so. But if you come back and you look at it, and I did this, I got to the point where I started to read. How was it I cried out to God? I cried out to God because I started to read the scriptures and I realized that I needed Jesus as my Savior. I needed Jesus to do something in me because whatever was in me wasn't working. And I cried out to him, not knowing what to cry out to him, because in here it says that without him, only death awaits me. So don't believe me. Pick up the book and read it. Pick up the book and look through it. And for Christians, I'm going to say again, pick up the book. You can read it. And I know many of us read it. And I know many of us memorize it. But I'm saying study it. Know it. Don't just go, and this verse says this. But know why that verse says that. Know it because you're going to be held accountable for how you explain this. How are you going to be able to tell and preach and explain so that someone can grasp of this thing and realize that without this Lord and Jesus that you are preaching, they too are doomed? How is that going to happen? How is it going to happen that in the workplace or somewhere else, somebody just says something so totally nuts about the Bible that you know it's just totally wrong. How are you going to be able to correct that if you don't know what the scripture actually says or why it says it? It's the new year. My challenge is to not just get into the book and read and memorize, but stop and look and learn and understand why these things are the way they are. You know, when I talk to some of your leaders here in the church, Daniel Mashter and Brandon Nickish in particular, when you listen to them talk about their desire to teach the people how to learn the scriptures, my heart just breaks that you have men like this among you, that their desire is that you will learn the scriptures. You're blessed to have people like this that are willing to pour out their lives for you so that you may be able to go forth and explain and teach and proclaim and preach the gospel of the living God. Amen? Amen. And since it is New Year's, I think I was, one of my new resolutions is to cut it down to 5 minutes. I know I broke that as well, but mercy and mercy and grace. But let's stand and I don't need you to come and make a proclamation. I don't need you to come and be visible. But I'm going to pray something, and if that's something that in your heart, that's something that you would like, then just say, okay, I'm grabbing that. Or, we'll think about it, Garcia. And that's okay, too. But let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. We understand the importance of knowing your word. And I ask you, Father, that if there be any grace, that in this coming year, you will at least lead us into with a burden to not only look at Scripture, but to start to understand why the Scripture is the way it is. The little things, the small things, the insignificant thing, we can call it trivias. You could be reading and run into a name of a person and then say to yourself, who is this person and why are they there? And then go look it up and understand who they are. And there, you know, if their name is there, it's got to be important for a reason. And so, Father, I ask you that even in the little details like this, and then you would start to make us hunger even more to learn, to study, so that we can proclaim your gospel. Amen? And with that, váyanse con Dios, muchachos.